Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And while you're going there, let me set this message up. We have been in a series entitled Foundations for Life. From the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis and the 17 years that my wife and I have been pastoring this beautiful congregation, growing congregation of people, we have preached from the 11 chapters of Genesis three times. You say, why would you do that? Because the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are the very foundations of your faith. And if you don't have this right, all doctrine falls apart. And so we're in the midst of this series, and powerful word this morning is going to touch and change you for sure. Quick review while notes are going out, and then we'll read the text. We preached on Let There Be Light, about how God is the creator. And we believe in a young earth model. We believe what God's word says. 6 days he created everything, and the seventh day he rested. The earth is not 10 million years old. And if you want to get to really getting after it, creation science, you certainly can. And I touched some of those points and taught and preached to you from that. Because if you don't have that right, then the rest of things begin to fall apart. How can we expect the world to believe that Jesus is fully God, fully man, came, died on a cross, and rose again from the grave? But yeah, that Genesis stuff, yeah, no, the earth is 10 million years old. Never mind that first part. It's really 10, no, it's not 10 years old. You go and study that. You can listen to the message on Facebook. Go to our YouTube channel and you can subscribe and get all of these messages as they come out. Let There Be Light, that's called. We moved on from there in a message entitled, Who Am I? About the importance of understanding that you are a human being, that you were created in God's image. And it's crucial to understand that. Why is it so crucial? There's an antichrist spirit that wants to push its agenda across the earth even now, and has been for since time began, and even from this story, Genesis 3, to get you to think that you didn't come from God. And there are those who would say that you're a complex reaction of biochemical reactions that produced a human being, or that you came out of the primordial slime, or you evolved from apes. Humorously, you might have evolved from apes, but I didn't. I was made in God's image. Come on, you've been made in God's image. Say it. I'm made in God's image. That's very, very important. Very important, because you are significant. And special. You're more significant and more special than a tree, than a turtle, more than a baby seal, more than a whale. Can you say amen? And that's why abortion is wrong. There's nothing more wicked than murder, the destruction of the image of God and man. And so we taught you along those lines. You come from heaven. You come from God. While you were in your mother's womb, he knit you together. You are special. You are significant. Can you say amen? Very important. And then last week, sometimes I just want to take pictures of your faces when I preach, because last week was pretty intense. We talked the truth about sex and marriage. And you want to go ahead and get a hold of that. It is a PG-13. And talked about gender and all of that. There are two genders, male and female. Can you say amen? All right. And somebody said, you should have said that Adam and Steve joke. I said, no, that's offensive. He said, well, you should say it anyway. All right. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Very good. Stand up on your feet. Take your Bible. And listen, we love people. I am poking fun. If you lose your sense of humor, it's trouble. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to get after it in the next message of the series, and we've entitled it Overcoming Temptation. Here we go. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we'll read 24 verses of scripture. And if you have to sit down, I understand, then just stand up on the inside. Here we go. You ready? Set? Go. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, quote, did God really say you must not eat from the tree of the garden, any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her stupid husband. That emphasis was mine. Gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, or naked, depending upon where you come from. They sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord. I don't know how you hide from God, but they attempted that. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here," typical. The woman, the man said, "The woman, it's the woman, she did it. The woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree to eat." Can you imagine standing there? She's like, "What?" Verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you'll eat dust all the days of your life." Verse 15, I want you to read with me. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Can you say amen? And the woman said to the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you'll give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you've listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I command you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all living. Verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin. Who made them? The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, "Man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out and take his hand also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Lord, thank you for what you did in the first service. Thank you for what you've done already today. Move in great power now in the moments that remain. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated again. We do have notes for you. That is our custom, specifically on Sunday mornings. It's how I was discipled and mentored along with my lovely wife, and that's how I've been discipling and mentoring you, because we found if you take notes, then you remember more of what was said, and then you can take that and go preach it and teach it to somebody else. And this particular message is powerful, overcoming temptation. I want you to say, "I can overcome temptation." Bump your neighbor and say, "You can overcome temptation." Bump your other neighbor and say, "You can do it. You can do it." There is a philosophical dilemma, the philosophical dilemma of evil, and I want to attempt to get a hold of it And the philosophical dilemma of evil, honestly, philosophically, in this modern age, is that they say it doesn't exist. It's a challenging thing to think, if you don't think that evil exists, when you have the Word of God teaching that there's evil, and hard to deal with for sure. Some think that all you need to do is probe the inner workings of man and get deep down into his heart, and then there's really good there. I've heard well-meaning people say, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. I used to hear that when I was in my teens and when I was early 20s, before I got born again and gloriously saved. I used to hear, you just need to, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Just follow your heart. I followed my heart and ended up a near reprobate. I'm so thankful that God saved me. Is anybody else glad? Your heart is deceitfully wicked, the scripture says, above all else. You don't follow your heart. There's darkness. There is real evil, and it's found from this text to be inside of mankind. Psychiatry and psychiatrists, according to the standard model, they have no framework for evil. So they attempt to bring healing and understanding through inner healing, but there's no evil. We don't even believe that. And if you do, I'll disprove it. And you can read many things about psychiatry and therapies, and you can begin to take a look and try to say that there's no evil. It's too late to try to explain that to me. And scripture's clear that there is very real evil. A very real evil. Some would suggest that evil is the two sides of the same coin. So there's good on one side, evil on the other. Kind of like Star Wars. This is a good force and an evil force. Let the force be with you. The dark side and the light side. That's not true. And God has overcome all evil. And the battle we're in today, Ephesians talks about that. It's not God battling the devil any more than an ant would battle a boot. To think that the devil is stronger than God or equal with God and they're in this great battle of Zoroastrianism, for all of you that understand that, it's not what we believe. Francis Schaeffer, in his books on philosophy, wrote regarding cruelty and non-cruelty being two sides of the same coin. In other words, evil and good being two sides of the same coin. And he wrote about this illustration of taking a pot of boiling water. So in other words, you believe that you can do what you want to do, and then I believe I can do what I want to do, and that's fine as long as you believe. But we don't believe that. Because if I believe I can pour boiling water in your lap, and that would be good, how many of you would raise a show of hands, believe that would be bad? Right. So that doesn't even make sense. No, there is very real evil, and to say that it doesn't exist doesn't explain things like Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin came to power in the 1920s. Thank God he died. Oh, wicked. Wicked, wicked, wicked. You know, we think, and rightfully so, that Hitler was horrible, and he was, and an Antichrist figure, but so is Joseph Stalin. Hitler killed, I don't know how many millions of people, 6 million Jews. In Russia and Slav and Ukraine and that whole area, they do not know how many people he killed. So they killed very conservatively 6 to 9 million people. But what many people believe is that he killed an upwards of 60 million people. 60 million through forced famines and labor camps and gulags. And how do you explain that? There is evil. There is a Satan. And he operates through people and demon power. And he found entrance into mankind right in this text. Now, the reality of it is this, that no matter what answers other than what I give you, that there is evil, and it's inside of mankind. And this text debunks all of that. The dilemma of evil is only found in the scriptures. It's on the inside. I got to say this. I didn't say this in the first service. I'll say it now. Our founding fathers, they were men. They were imperfect men. I understand that. But they understood evil. And that's why they had checks and balances. I'm not sure they're working right now. I think some people really need to go to jail. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But checks and balances in the government are very, very important. Why? Because there's wicked corruption. See, so the problem is if you get all of the branches of government corrupt, then you have a real problem. But checks and balances have been designed by our founding fathers because of evil. Evil inside of a man, a woman, evil. Pastor, how did all this happen? Well, I'm going to show you. Evils exist. Write in your notes now. Because exists within human, because within humans, because man had free will. He had a choice. Everybody say, I have a choice. Okay, you might not like that. I guess on certain levels, I don't like it either. I wish God would just do it. He didn't make us into robots. He didn't make us into wind-up toys that can just obey him. I worship God. That's not how it is. Love is not in a vacuum. Love is a choice. Love's a choice, so he made mankind with a free will. How could man make such a stupid choice? I know, right? The same reason you do. The same reason I have and attempt not to. The issue of temptation, I want you to know this. Every single person under the sound of my voice will face temptation. Every single one here. All of us. All of us will face temptation. What you do with it will determine whether you walk in the freedom and the blessing of God or whether you end up cursed or harmed in some way. Look at how mankind fell. Look at Roman numeral 2. And this is some insights into the workings of temptation. Well, Eve's first mistake is she talked to the devil. Everybody say, don't talk to the devil. Yeah, don't talk to him. Don't talk to the dead either. Don't talk to the devil. You can command. Can command things, but don't have conversations with them. Some of you have conversations with them all the time at the altar of your mirror where you agree that your nose is too big or you're too fat or you're too heavy, constantly arguing and agreeing with, I should probably move on. But she talked to Satan. Revelation says the serpent is Satan. The first mistake is she parlayed or talked with the devil. The second thing you'll notice is in there in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, has God indeed said? The serpent twists the word of God. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In Genesis chapter 2, the previous chapter, it says this in verse 16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and you shall not eat. In the day you eat of it, you will surely die. So he twists the scripture, you see. And it's the same thing he did to Jesus in the desert. It's the same thing he does today. And you'll look at Eve. She exaggerates what God says there in verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it. Nor shall you touch it. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said you couldn't eat it. Wow. She exaggerates and she falls victim to the distortion here that Satan brings. Satan distorts the picture of God and portrays God as a selfish, mean liar. Look at this in verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, listen closely now. The serpent said, quote, will you surely not die, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Let me just stop and say that she already is like God in many ways, made in his image and likeness. And he begins to say, no, he's held out from you. And I would venture to say that some of you are here and think that God's holding back from you. God's not holding back from you. That's a lie from the pit. Satan twists the whole word. He twists the word. He paints this distorted picture of God, saying that God doesn't really want good things for you. Hey, he doesn't really have the best for you. You know, you need to take this yourself. I mean, seriously, you've been robbed. Sitting here this morning, now this afternoon, are people who have been through difficult times and had experiences, and you've had the same thought patterns in your mind.
well, if God really loved me, then this wouldn't have happened. If God's really good, then why is there evil? Why is there evil in the world if God's really good? God could get rid of all evil in humanity right now. You know how? Kill all of us. We'd all drop dead. There'd be no more evil in humanity because there would be no more humanity. You missed a great place to say, oh me or oh my or something. There's times of disappointment and hurts where you thought that God didn't care. I'm going to tell you that God cares, and the devil comes to tell you and twists things to tell you that he doesn't. But God cares. I love what Pastor Kirsten said, a part of his testimony. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but he was in a hopeless dead end in his life, in his own mind, and he was despairing even of life. And he pulled up at a last resort. Pastor Kirsten Davis, our executive pastor here, pulled up to a church parking lot, parked his car, was weeping, saying, nobody cares, nobody cares, oh God. And the Lord spoke to him. He thinks it might have been audible. The Lord said, I care. And when the Lord spoke to him, I care, it changed everything. What? He gave his life back to Christ. He's been serving God with his hair on fire ever since. Come on, God cares. I want you to say, God cares. So you'll notice a distortion comes to Eve's mind and she yields. She yields to her desires. Eve yields to her desires, immediate gratification. Look at verse 6. So when the woman saw, go do a word study on saw. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, they took them to be their wives. I can't wait to preach that text. I can't wait. It's coming. Ooh, intense. Wow. You'll look over and over and over. You see the book of James, how you see things and you're enticed. And when enticement, same as James 1 and verse 15, 13 through 15, you see that it brings forth death. And that's what happened. She saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. The tree is desirable to make one wise. So she took fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband. You know, we all have natural desires. They're really needs, desires or wants. Wants and needs are two different things. Everybody take a big, deep breath. All right, air, you need that. You need that. You might want it also, but you have it to live. Eve has this desire for knowledge and beauty. And she goes for it with instant gratification. She goes for it. We'll talk more about that in a bit. And by eating the fruit, Eve breaks trust with God. She what? She breaks trust with God. She went for obtaining knowledge apart from her relationship with God. Through her disobedience, she goes to satisfy that desire, circumventing relationship. You see, God wants to give you beauty. God wants to give you knowledge. God wants to bless you. God wants to help you. God wants to heal you. God wants to encourage you. But it doesn't happen any other way except by and through a relationship with God. Can you say amen? She was obtaining knowledge by eating fruit. She sees knowledge and wisdom as something that's outside of God. I've heard this. I've early on in my walk, I remember was with somebody who was seeking the secret knowledge of God. Because there has to be more than this stuff, more than just what we see in church. And I would venture to say there is another level of anointing and power that we have not seen. The glory of the Lord comes. When he comes, I'm going to tell you, there ain't anybody preaching and teaching like I am right now. When the power of God sweeps in a place, that's different. I would to God that he would come by his power. We'd all end up just transformed by his glory. There are services like that. But I remember talking to this brother and he was studying the deeper things of God. And he ended up drowning. You can go so deep you drowned. In other words, you can't get away from the principles of Scripture, but yet there is revelation that God will give. But if you try to get that like some, you know, without fasting, without praying, I know many people want to walk in a greater anointing, want to have greater influence, but their hearts aren't right. And they look for some secret, oh, the lost books of the Bible. Woo! Oh, the hidden books. You need to go to school. and study about the canonization of Scripture. Oh, man wrote that. Man, you don't have the discipline or the time to actually study so that you would change the stupidity that is coming out of your mouth. There's so many ignorant people. My wife shaking her head. Was that too hard? I'm so sorry. Let me say that different. Most people don't have the discipline. They don't have, it's not in the notes. Don't have the discipline or the real desire to know the truth. So they don't really study to show themselves approved. They spout off platitudes from some internet self-ordained person. And then they make it their own. And then they echo that to people. Oh, man wrote that. It's. I'm going to tell you, what you're holding in your hand or what's on your device, depending upon what version you have, is the most accurate historical book in all of history. It is the first book. It was the bestseller when it came off of Gutenberg's printing press. It's still the bestseller, even though the New York Times, which doesn't get many things right, they don't list that as a bestseller, but it is still the bestseller, the Word of God. And there's books, the Apocrypha and all of that. They're not included in the Bible that we have and preach from and teach from because it wasn't included in the canonization of Scripture. And there's lots of debate, truly. But if you really study, you'll find out that what you're holding is the most accurate document that there is. And I'd encourage you to do it. Go prove me wrong. But she goes for another route to get wisdom and knowledge. And the tempted becomes a tempter. The sad thing is that Adam could have spoken up here, but he stands there like a moron. No, I mean, she's like talking. He's right there. Adam's right there. He's like, hey, don't talk. Don't do that. No, wait, hey. But you know what? I think it was just like, she's so fine. She's so fine. Man, this is now bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. Woo! What are you saying to that? What are you saying to that snake? I think he had made her an idol. And after she eats it, he's just like, oh man. He could have talked to God and got a new one. No, I'm teasing. Don't take that too far. But he could have talked. Pastor Karen told me to say that. No, she didn't. He could have talked to God. They could have repented. Maybe something else could have happened. But that's not what happened. He's like, oh, we're all right. You ate it. I'm going to eat it. And he partakes. Then he blames her. You need some counseling right there. What's the result of their disobedience? The result is sin and death. You say, well, no, they didn't die. No, they didn't die immediately. But in a way they did. And I'm going to show you this. Death psychologically. Death how? Psychologically. For the first time, they experienced shame. For the first time, they experienced shame. And you'll see their attempt to cover themselves. They feel unholy. They're embarrassed. Humiliation. Dishonor. They attempt to cover themselves with what? With what kind of leaves? With fig leaves. And you know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of religion. It's a picture of man's attempt to try to cover his sin, cover his shame, cover his guilt. I want to say this to you. You cannot cover your shame. You cannot cover your guilt. You cannot cover you can't cover your sin. Only Jesus can. Who? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Who? Only Jesus can cover you. And there's a lot of people that run around trying to do good works. Listen, you could go to church the rest of your life and still split hell wide open. You need to be forgiven. It's not a fig leaf. It's not religion. It's not a tradition that's going to wash you, cleanse you, and heal you. It's the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's the blood that covers you and cleanses you. And I have noticed in a fallen world that clothing is used in a way of a declaration. Some people need to put some more clothes on. Can you say amen? Amen. And I have found, especially when people find out I'm a pastor, and I'll meet people if they're scantily clad, they have a tendency, when they find out that I'm a pastor, they have a tendency to cover up. pulling the skirts down, cover, get that thing down there. Listen, I've found also that even when I come into a place where I begin to meet somebody, and I don't judge people based on their clothes, you know, I mean, my gosh, it's not clothes that make the man, but there is something about being modest and something about being naked. People who've gotten trapped into promiscuity and sexual sin, they have a tendency to be psychologically manipulated. And I've also found that people who don't wear much clothes have a tendency to be psychologically manipulated easier than someone who's covered. Now, I don't think you should have no skin showing and, you know, look like the side of a barn or something. We should move on. They not only experienced shame, but they experienced guilt. Guilt is real. I want you to say that. Guilt is real. In psychological circles, Freud taught about guilt feelings. Freud, thank you. Freud was a fraud. He's a brilliant man in many ways, but he talked about guilt feelings. You know why he talked about guilt feelings? Because they don't believe in absolute truth. He says, so guilt feelings are feelings of guilt that are, you can just dismiss those. You can let go of that because it's just a feeling of guilt. No, there's real guilt because there's real truth. And when truth is broken, when sin comes, there's guilt. Listen, it's a beautiful thing when you feel guilt, when you feel conviction, to use a biblical term. Conviction's glorious. Everybody say it's glorious. Why is that glorious? Because it's an indication that you need to repent. Condemnation is different. Conviction is when you feel bad about something, but condemnation is when you feel bad about something and even you've repented, but you just, it's like the enemy just comes and hits you with a bat over your head all the time. You know you're a dirtbag. You ate a salad when you were fasting. You're not really going after God. But conviction is you've done wrong, and then you know you've done wrong. I've heard somebody define it as it feels like you're getting kicked in the stomach. I don't know that I would define it that way. But a grief comes over you like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. It happens to me sometimes when I'm preaching. It happened just a minute ago when I said, I don't know, spouting platitudes out of your pie hole or whatever I said. I don't know what I didn't say that. It's another word for a mouth that comes from the South. And I say things sometimes that feel a little bit like I just grieve myself, grieve the Lord a little bit. So then I have to repent and say, Lord, and I look at Pastor Cameron, he's like, no. Don't do that. Let's all repent. Come on, you guys have done far worse than that. Let's repent. Jesus. Oh, forgive us, God. Well, it's amazing. Forgive us in Jesus' name. Forgive me. It's amazing. It's amazing how guilt can come out in unusual places, of relational problems. It can come out in all kinds of fears and different ways. Through sin, shame came, guilt came, and death spiritually. They're banned from the garden. No more walking with God in the cool of the day. That's over. They're banned from the garden. They're separated from God. And death in relationship between the man and the wife. This is fascinating. Man is Ish in the Hebrew, and the woman is Isha. The picture is that they're one. But now there's a separation, a change has taken place. And it's really a great tragedy that happens here. This tragedy is played out in great pain and childbirthing. And Adam now names his wife Eve, which is this picture of him having dominion over her, and the whole relationship changes. Well, thank God in Christ, relationship changes again. Can you say amen? Amen. We're supposed to submit one to another in love, and you're not supposed to be a doormat for him, no matter what he has told you biblically. Now, there is a head of the house, and we should probably teach along those lines, but it's not ruler over like a Gestapo where you have to obey everything. There's a mutual submission, and if the man would be like Christ, and she has no problem serving along with you. Many times that does mean you need to crucify yourself, not literally, but put your flesh down, serve, be Christ-like. Can you say amen? Ephesians talks about that, respecting your husband, so on and so forth. That cycle of love and respect. All right, let's move on. Get into the marriage classes at 9:30, right in the lobby to help you with that. Death psychologically and ecologically. Death physically, pardon me, and ecologically. And so literally creation begins to decay really at that point. All right, how to overcome temptation. How to overcome temptation. Ready? Here we go. How to overcome temptation. Look at Genesis 3 and verse 15. It reads this, I'll put enmity, I had you read it out loud. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring, your offspring and hers. I guess Satan has offspring. And hers, he will crush your head. This is what's called the proto-evangelium. If you're going to overcome, the very first thing is you need to get born again. You can only overcome. Keep in mind, we overcome because of Jesus, because of Christ. Right? In verse 21 says this, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin. He clothed them. The moment they sinned, everything changes. And in that same moment, God provides a way for them to be covered from their shame and from their guilt and from their sin. He covers them. I think it might have been the skins of a lamb, very possibly. We don't know. But for those of you that are hunters, if you're going to skin an animal, which is what took place, there's blood. And it begins to set up, and I didn't say this earlier, but I say it now, begins to set up what is called the sacrificial system. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And literally an animal is killed now. Atone, the blood atonement is a picture of blood atonement right here. The very first sin, God takes care of it. Come on, somebody say God takes care of it. But not in fullness. The fullness of salvation is not here, but it's pictured, it's a type, it's a shadow, it's a picture book of the greater things to come. What's the greater thing to come? You have broken God's law, broken God's word. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, but it's the gift of God. It's the gift of God, eternal life through Christ Jesus. Your sin is paid for by his death, and by you receiving it, his blood washes you and cleanses you. Can I get an amen in the house of God? It's all pictured right here. This millennia later, God, who so loved the world, would send his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, would not die, but have everlasting life. Hebrews 2 and 18 talks about temptation, and it says in verse 18 of Hebrews 2, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In Hebrews 4 and 15, but we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are tempted, yet is without sin. There's nothing you're going through right now in your life or ever will go through that he hasn't gone through and can relate with you on and overcame without sinning. Somebody say, wow. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. Our problem many times is we don't want a way out. But whenever you're being tempted, there is a way of escape. Come on, somebody say, you can get out of that. But man is deceitfully wicked. His heart is deceitful. And your heart will fool you. And sin is on the inside of man. It's not something that's just outside. It is outside also, but it's also on the inside. That's why it says in Scripture that when you receive Jesus, he takes out the heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh, a tender heart, a sensitive heart. Amen. Let's all have a praise break. Amen. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a second. Let me say this to you. There are times as a preacher, as a pastor, that you bring messages, and I'm feeling a little resistance, so I'm just going to throttle it just a little bit. There's times when there's messages that come that are so powerful that'll change your life and help you. And if you can get a hold of what I'm about to preach you, this rest of the part, if you didn't hear me at all, hear this final section. And I know that the warfare is intense because of all the little distractions and things that are thrown at me. And I probably needed to pray up more, but so did you. And I have had more things happen that were been unusual. And it's just fascinating to me, like that. Like when I went to go wash my hands in the back and I wiped my face with these towels that had like axle grease all over it. It went all over my face. I'm about to preach in two minutes. And the song goes a little bit longer. I'm trying to scrub the stuff off my face. I'm like, Jesus, help. One thing after another. I want you to lift your hands one more time. Holy Spirit, I bind demon power now, and I pray an opening of every single ear here under the sound of my voice, that you'd release these very simple strategies on how to overcome temptation, set people free, empower and equip them to walk in purity and holiness. In the name of Jesus, I bind, gag, and muzzle every distraction. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hearts are wicked. How do you fix that? You need to know the word of God. Know the word and obey the word. Everybody say it. Know the word and obey the word. I had somebody say, I'm not convicted about smoking weed. That's because you don't know the word. So in your mind, you think it's okay to get intoxicated, but when you study the word, you'll find out that you should not be intoxicated. Wine, weed, or anything else. And so he said, well, I don't have a conviction about that. That's because you don't know the word. You don't measure what's right and wrong by whether you feel good about it or not. You measure it based on God's word. So if you're not convicted about something that's clearly wrong in the word, guess who needs to change? You. Me. Us. Know the word and obey it. How many of you know that you know the word when you obey it? You don't really know it unless you obey it. Jesus spoke the word when Satan tried to distort who he was in the desert. And we need to do the same thing. Use the word. Know the word. Cults do their very best to cause a distortion in the word. Don't place yourself in a position to be tempted. Everybody say, don't be where you shouldn't be. Right, don't be in a position where you can be tempted. I've had people that have been clean from drugs or alcohol, and they go hang out with their doper friends, and then they smoke again, or they get high again, or they drink again. And I'm like, well, what happened? Well, I went there, and you know, I just went into the bar because I just want to say hi to some friends. And then before you know it, you're drinking. Imagine that. I'm going to get a good idea for you. Don't go there anymore. Some of you need to change people, places, and things. Change them. Change them. Don't put yourself in a place where you're going to end up being tempted. Now, I can walk into any bar right now and have a revival. I can go into any place, anywhere right now. But that wasn't the case early on in my walk. It is the case now. And we've done it at the leading of the Lord at different times. But don't put yourself in a place where you're going to be tempted. Can you say amen? Can you say a better amen? Don't hang out with dopers. Don't yield to the internet. Don't yield to your phone. Constantly have things that are happening where they're hooks where the enemy tries to throw it out. He's a wicked, bad devil. He dangles a carrot, gets you to go for it, and then when you do, he's like, oh, you're wicked. He sets you up and you yield to temptation. If you can't handle your phone, do something else. Get healed, get delivered. There's all kinds of plans where you can get free from that. Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. You got to cut some things off. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 10:14, flee from idolatry. 2 Timothy 6, the love of money is the root kinds of all kinds of evil. People have pierced themselves through with many griefs. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee from evil desires of your youth. Everybody say, just run. That's what I learned. If I was really trapped, if I would just run. And that happened to me a number of times. There are very humorous stories. But where I would just run, if I'd be tempted, all I would just hear the Lord say, run. And there was times literally where I'd be standing and I was being tempted so sorely and I didn't have the character. I wasn't around some Christian brothers, Christian sisters to be able to help me. There I was being tempted to be pulled back into the very things that God set me free from. And the Spirit would say, run. Run, and I would literally run. I would just run right outdoors, out into the street, and run as fast and as hard as I could. This is some of the things that I did early on, like last week. I'm kidding. Long ago. And I would run as hard and fast as I could until I was out. And sometimes it was a mile. And I'd get to the end and I'd be like, yes! I didn't yield. Some of you need to run away, flee. And that could be many different ways that you do that, but don't just hang out with something that's tempting. You get away from it. Everybody say, get away. Don't let a distortion take hold of you. How do you do that? Well, one of the ways you don't let a distortion take hold of you is pray. Can you imagine if Eve said, hey, Lord? Hey, Lord. Yes, my daughter. This is new. The snake here says that you're holding some. Is that true? I think he would have done something. I think he'd be like, no, snake, hit the road. But that's not what happened. She didn't talk to God. She didn't pray. Some of you don't pray. God wants to meet you in your prayer time that you don't have. And let me say, and it's talking, praying, it's talking. Some of you are, get so upset when your husband talks to you about a struggle he's having for married couple. If you get so upset at your husband about a struggle he's having, then he's never gonna share with you one thing. You need to get in a place where he can get help. And the same thing for you, husbands. You know, you have a quarter of the words that she shares. And you come home and all your words are used. And she needs to tell you how she's feeling. She needs to tell you. And you just need to let her tell it. And tell it. And listen. I'm being convicted right now. And listen. And you just want to hear all, you want her to talk like a dude. How's your day? It's good. How was yours? Great. Awesome. What's for dinner? I don't know. That's not the way a woman is. Thank God. She needs to communicate. And when she asks you how your day is, she wants you to know how you're feeling. When men go shopping, we have a list. I get a package of 45s. I get some Targets. I go, I pay, I leave. Shopping. When a woman goes shopping, she goes shopping. Flipping tags, trying stuff on. Don't really need that. Want to look around. It's a whole thing. You need to understand that you're very different men than your wife. And wives, you're very different than your... Don't make your husband a girl. Let's have a praise break. Hey! How do we get on that? We're talking about praying and talking. You talk to God in his prayer. And you'll find help and strength in time of need, Hebrews 4:16. Confront. Everybody say confront. There are things that you must confront. And if you don't confront it, you'll have evil. Evil, if you don't, I don't like confrontation. You know something? I used to say that. I love it now. And I'll tell you why I love it. Because what I really don't like is a lack of confrontation, confusion, and division. I don't like that. So in the first service, I took care of something. I'm going to take care of it in the second right now, in just a second. You must confront things. You must confront evil. You must confront it in your home. You must confront it in your own life. You must confront it in your relationships. You must confront things. You've got to talk, and don't text it. Get on the phone. Talk to people. Do it face to face if you need to. But don't you let misunderstanding and division come. You'll see the Apostle Paul did that over and over with the Thessalonians. The enemy's attempt is to divide and conquer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you hear things about me or about my wife, and you want to know if this is true, just come and talk to me. You say, but I don't want it. But you come and talk to Pastor Karen, she'll help you. We're an open book. If you wonder about anything in the church or finances or where money goes, we just had a whole meeting on Saturday, and there was a good group of people here, but many, many people part of the church not. But all those finances are open book. You can find out about anything that's happening. My life's an open book, and so it should be. My hope and our desire, Pastor Karen, my staff, is that we would live before you as a man of God, as a woman of God, modeling what it is to be righteous and pure and holy, of course, by the blood. Yes, of course, but lived out in our life. And do you fall short? Yes, Jesus, help me. I can be rude. But there are times where you need to confront things. And by the way, if I've been rude and I've hurt your feelings, I really didn't mean to. I honestly didn't. I can say that before God. I don't want to hurt anybody. It's true. I used to say, you'll never be hurt here at King's. And I changed that because that's not true. You'll never be hurt on purpose at King's. There was some confusion. Here's the confrontation. There was some confusion with regards to our women's conference called Embrace and the Garden, right? And it's just a week away, less than a week. It's this Friday. And there was some confusion. I'm not sure how it happened, but I broadsworded it in the first service. I'm going to do it again. The confusion was that there is that the elderly were not included in that. Now, let me just tell you that every single person, if they're a woman, is invited to that event. Now, I'm going because I can. And there's many men that are gonna serve and help, but it is for all women. Now, there is some lower age limits, right? So it's 12 years old and up. Now, I'm not sure the oldest person here, but I'm gonna say probably 80, 90, something like that. It is for everybody. How did that happen? How did the elderly think that they weren't invited? Well, I would say it'd be the devil. And one of the things that happened is that there's a video that shows the Women's Embrace Conference, and you don't see elderly in it, and that's because the person that was going to fit that spot was not able to make it at the last minute, and so we didn't have an elderly person, so it just looks like it's younger people. And so there was a kind of a campaign of concern. Well, it's really not for us. Well, let me tell you, yes, it is. We love you. And if we didn't have you at that conference, you will rob the generations of your influence there. We need the elderly. They're very, very important. They know twice as much as we do. They've been living twice as long as some of us. And we need the elderly. We need the classics at the conference. Register today. Confusion resolved? Amen? All right. Anything else is from the pit of hell? Not from us. You've got to confront things. Everybody say confront things. All right. And trust God in every area of your life. If you don't trust God, you'll end up in bondage. And Eve didn't trust, Adam didn't trust God. Expose areas that you don't trust him in. Like what? Any area that you have fear, you're not trusting God. So if it's the area, maybe you're a single person here, maybe we're talking about marriages and stuff, but if you're a single person and you're fearful that you'll never find a husband, you'll never find a wife, shut that thing up and trust God. See how big a heart you can get for God and watch what happens. Miracles happen. Amen. If you don't trust God in the area of finances, so you don't tithe, then you have all this fear about money. Well, the banks, what are we gonna do with the banks? Listen, I know there's a lot going on and maybe recession is happening. Oh, I don't know, maybe a Great Depression. Listen, I've asked God, do whatever it takes to bring revival to America. And I'm gonna tell you that mammon has been one of the main idols in our country. And it could be that God's just allowing a leveling so that people come to God. I don't know, I'm just not gonna worry about it because I'm attached to an economy of heaven. God is my source, I'm not gonna worry, I refuse to worry. What about the building? What do you mean? It's somebody said, are you stressed out about the building? Not even remotely. I'd have had a heart attack long ago if it was my job. It's not mine. It's his. How's this going to get paid off? I don't know. How are you going to do that, Lord? Pretty awesome. You obey me. I will. Great. And he says that to all of us. We all obey God. He'll bring it through. There's not anything to worry about. But if you don't trust God in certain areas of your life, with your emotions, with your life, you'll end up in bondage. Expose areas that you don't trust God in. Don't yield to instant gratification. Worship team, please. Don't yield to instant gratification. Trust that God's going to provide for you. She yielded to instant gratification. Grow in love with God. Everybody say, grow in love with God. Are you more in love with God today than you were a week ago, a year ago? Are you more on fire for God today? If you're not, then analyze that. Did you drift? And you know, there's all kinds of things that pull us away. Just fall more, make a commitment. That's what Eve did. She looked and she lusted, but her love for God didn't hold her. Walk humbly. Everybody say, walk humbly. Recognizing your dependence on the Lord, lest you fall victim to pride and jealousy. Did you get something from God today? Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. You trust him. Don't shortcut it. Don't yield to temptation. All sin is, listen closely, all sin is, and I'm closing, is a wrong attempt to get a real need or a desire met. But if you'll trust God, he'll fulfill it. I'm going to close with this story and then give you an opportunity to have your sins covered. I was walking out of a staff meeting on Friday, and amazing staff, so many people that volunteer, an amazing team that is the inner workings of Kings. And I'm so grateful. As I was walking away from that meeting, I was walking our expansive lobby, and I was looking around as I was walking out, and I thought, oh God, how did this happen? This is amazing. And I instantly recalled the desire I had when I first got here that we would be here right now, but 17 years ago. And the Lord spoke to me a text of scripture. I can't give you the chapter and verse right now, but the text of scripture is in Exodus, where God says to them, I'm going to give you the whole promised land, but little by little. Because if I give you the whole thing, the beast will overrun the promised land. And I realized as that scripture came into my spirit by the Holy Spirit, I realized that what I'm walking in now, I desired all those years ago, but he had to do something in me. I wasn't ready. And the congregation wasn't ready, and we weren't ready. And you know, this 7 years it took to build the building? Do you know that God did something in me? He did something in you. He did something in us. He produced grit and tenacity and a boldness and a faith that could never come about any other way. I don't know what God has for us all in the future. We're believing for 1,200 congregations. But some of you want it now. And like a child, you stand there. I want it now. And he's like, I'd give it to you, except you'd kill yourself if I did. You can't handle it. And I didn't realize that. And he said, would you trust me? Would you trust me, son? I said yes a long time ago. I say to you from the Lord, would you just trust him? Would you trust him? Trust him with your life, your spouse. Don't get over into trying to grab the fruit, to grab the thing that you so want. Trust God. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Temptation is a yielding to what is outside of the timing of God. It's outside of the will of God. Don't yield to it. And in doing that, in serving God and loving God with all your heart, he will bring about the fullness of the plan for your life. You want God's plan? Do it God's way. If you want to get hurt and harmed, then yield to temptation. But it's up to you, because no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. In other words, everyone has been tempted, and God makes a way of escape for everybody who's willing to take it. Did you get that? Pray, run away, set your life up, love God, know the word, obey it. I hope it's helped you. I hope this message has helped you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, the closing moments of the service, if you don't know Christ, won't you give your heart to him today? Want to receive Jesus for the first time? Want to recommit your life to the Lord? Or you just want to be sure? You've never given your life to Jesus, you want to do it today. Number two, you want to recommit. You gave your life to Jesus before, but you know you're not living 100% for him. You want to come home. Or number three, you just want to be sure. Every head bowed, every eye closed, those online. You say, that's me, Pastor Daniel. Give your heart to Jesus. You say, that's me. On the count of three, would you slip your hand up? You say you want to receive Jesus, you want to forgive him, and you want to be covered, not by fig leaves, but by the blood, the only thing that can cleanse you from sin. A show of hands, give your life to Christ first time. Number two, make a recommitment. Number three, just be sure. If that's you, count of three, slip your hand up. One, two, three. Do it now. Wow. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Lift your hand high. I'm looking at this whole right section. I'll come to the middle and the left in just a moment. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. I see that hand, son. Oh my. Oh my. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for your courage. I see that hand in this middle section. Anybody else? Lift your hand high. All right. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Over on this whole left side, lift your hand high if you want to get right with God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. My goodness. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Okay, here's what we got to do. Stand up on your feet all across this place. If you lifted your hand or you didn't, as soon as they begin to sing, step out from where you are if you want to get right with God. First time, want to recommit, or you just want to be sure. All across this place, if that's you, as soon as they sing, come to the front right now. There's others coming with you. Come on. Come on. Come. Come to Jesus. Come on, come. Church, you ought to go wild right now. Come on. Come on, come, come. From the left, from the right, from the back to the front, come. Come. Come as close to my hand as you can. Come all the way to the front. Come on, church, keep clapping. Do you remember when you gave your heart to Christ? Come on. Come on. Come. Come. Praise God! Come on! Come on! Come on, come to Jesus! Thank you! I want to activate the evangelist on the inside of you. So many up here for the very first time. I want you, if you would, please, just for a moment, and I know it's a little bit late, but talk to the person on the right and the left. Not yet. Ask him this. Are you right with God? And if they're like, just say, come on, I'll go down with you. All right, would you do it? Would you? And if they are right with God, they'll be like, yes. They're like, yeah, awesome. I know it's a little awkward, but how many of you know this is important, most important thing you can ever ask somebody. Are you right with God? Ready, set, do it. Go ahead, ask him. And if, come on, I'll come down with you. Come on, I'll come down with you. Sing it. Come on, come. Come on, come. Come, come, come. Come on, come. You're welcome here. Come on, come. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. Come on. Church, put your hands together for God. Come on. Wow. Lift your voice and sing. There's room for you. There's room for you right now. Come on, sing with us. Come on. There's room for you right now. Come on down.
My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again.
Pray this prayer right out loud, and then we're going to just help you grow in the things of God for just a couple minutes afterwards, and our service will be concluded. I know I went a little bit long, but if it kept you from temptation, that's good. All, every eye on me up here. Y'all, look at me. Let me see your eyes all the way across the front. Let me see you. Here, look right into my eyes. Young man. Young man right there. It's the beginning of something brand new. It's all, he's wiping away the whole slate today. Look at me. Here, look at me. Every eye, look at me. This is why we're here, for you to help you grow in the things of God. I'm gonna take a knee. Come here. Come on, let's all receive Jesus. Just pray right out loud. Close your eyes. Pray right out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, all across this place, say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die in my place and to rise again from the grave for me. Forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. And make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Lift your hands to heaven. I pray, Holy Spirit, now you come upon this company of people. I break every chain, every bondage, every curse. I declare the blessing of God over them. I thank you that their names are written in your book in heaven. I thank you that from this day forward, the heart of stone has been removed. The heart of flesh has come as you come to take up residence on the inside of them. They're new creations in Christ. They're born again. They're made new right now. We thank you. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.